The title of my presentation today is Vision and Construction of a Territory. It wasn't during the 1960s. And I will present you also a map on the side of the, on this wall. So it's not the sea, but it's the map of Oisans. And I ask Vincent to help me with this. So, comment je fais pour... Okay, it's... I'm in third year thesis, and I've got two supervisors, Michael Attali, sport history professor, and Anne-Marie Granet. I will now present you the lab Excitem, because some of you know about this lab. So I will pass this slide as quick as I able to do. Sorry for the technique. But I will present you some words about Oisans area. It's an area, it's a high in altitude. It's a territory about 800 kilometers square. It's between Besançon and Grenoble. And it's on two areas, on two departments, Isère and Hautes-Alpes. It was known in the 19th century with alpinism, mostly with the ascent of La Neige in 1877. And it gives Oisans respectability. But now, Oisans is most known for its ski resorts, as Alpe d'Huez and Deux Alpes. And also for hydroelectricity, because you've got a big dam here at the north called Barrage de Grand Maison. The works were started in 1976, lasts for 8 years, 10 years, and it gives today 9% of the French EDF hydroelectricity. Some words about innovation. Innovation is a pluralist notion, considerably mentioned in a global change context, which was investigated according to different approaches. My research took place in a social and cultural innovation perspective, considering innovation as a process. A process that may appear a new way of life that must be appropriated by society. It's a process collective, virtuous, contingent, obliged to abnormality and the belief of an extreme commonness. And the diffusion of innovation is a central question. This presentation aims for an interpretation of the socio-cultural process that led to the reshaping of the Alpine area by the growth of mass leisure. Source materials make it possible to highlight the outlooks and motivation that allowed local and exterior stakeholders to transform mountain. This study on winter sports development leans for a lot of part on Neanderthal theoretical contributions, but also Akrish, Callon, and Latour with their work on profit sharing. So I divided this presentation in three parts. In the first part, I will speak about a representation of tourism as an innovation. In the second part, about the diffusion of the innovation. And the third part about obstacle to the diffusion of the innovation. So the first part, the representation of tourism as an innovation. First, tourism is seen as a beneficial cultural mutation and as a necessary economic mutation. Ever since the 18th century, European social imagination has turned toward a promotion of mountain areas. In France, thriving of mountaineering until the mid-century brought Oisans its respectability. In the 1960s, an unprecedented socio-cultural shift began to take place with the mass culture, a process that transformed recreational sports practice areas, especially mountain ones. In the 1960s, an unprecedented socio-cultural scale spreads with a spare time growing. It becomes the driving force of winter holiday, as well as a cultural norm. Its economic consequences encourage the states to provide and maintain with equipment and to begin a sustained land settlement policy. As in other territories, the 1960s economic context in Wazo is not with the strong outflow of the farming population. Given the farming difficulties and well aware of the economic rise implied by tourism, the state wished to overcome rural exodus and the issue of the aging population by creating connection between farming and tourism. In this context, the population is urged to adapt itself to this new modality. The villagers see their relationship with the maintain as a constraint the state must mitigate. The press describe a hard life in a hostile, often idealized environment. This retrograde vision of the maintain is relayed by common discourse, as well shown by Anne-Marie Grenet. Click, number one. So that's the archaic places in Wazan, the villages. However, this is contradictory with another Wazan character, that of the progress embodied by the Alpe d'Huez and Les Deux Alpes resorts, which continue their spectacular ascent. Click for the modern places. Alpe d'Huez is one of the best equipped ski resorts in Europe. So, as we can see in this article, the luxurious Dauphiné ski resort classified among the best equipped in Europe. That's a big part of my source, the newspaper. As you can see in this demographic curves here under, symbolize Wazan territories. So, on the left side, you've got ski resorts, impacted by tourism, so you can see the curves coming up, and on the right it's going down. It's lost villages. There is also, finally, an area seems to be excluded from the innovation process. Post-industrial Wazan, represented by the town of Livet-Gavé, is south of a forgotten part of the territory, and click for the excluded part of the area. So, believing in tourism, it's the second part now, innovation spreading. Believing in tourism, a globalizing normative vision gives meaning to touristic development that seems inevitable. The villages that do not take part in the process dream of becoming winter sport resorts and hope for a reversal of migratory movement. Ideas thrive all out. Villa Notre-Dame, it's a small village we can see on the map. Click. Plans building 5 ski lifts to inscribe skiing on the book of the future, thanks to the Rochelle permanent glacier that allows people to ski all year long. So I've got some picture to present you, Villa Notre-Dame. It's at 1,600 meters. That's a summertime. You've got the same place in wintertime, and you can see on these pictures the glacier. We had imagined to build a ski lift or chairlift, and that's the road to join Villa Notre-Dame place. So it's a very vertiginous. As Teta and Lisa say, on the fact that collective mimicry influences the spread of these practices, these authors remind us that the number of ski lifts in the Alps moved from 1,000 to 2,600 between 1966 and 1974, so it's 160% in 8 years. So it's a lot of lift. In Wazan, in the 1960s, two stages can be distinguished in the project implementations. As soon as 1960, the towns wished to obtain the state aids through an opening up order. Particular attention is drawn to road infrastructure. The report of the meeting held by the mayors of the canton was published in the November 4, 1961 edition of the Dauphiné Libéré newspaper. It perfectly illustrates the claims of this land solely dedicated to farming and dear to Raoul Blanchard. We can click on the map. So, construction of road to develop tourism. Click. Classification of the Northern Road in the Regional Road Network. Click. Widening of the access road and reinforcement of the snow clearing operation. Click. Creation of a federation of Oisin touristic towns for Orion. Click. Installation of a fan boat, La Dorade. Click. Bourdoisin cable car in Prégenty for Villa Raymond. Click. Accessibility of the road during winter, Villa Recula. Click. Ah, you go too fast, Vincent. Okay. The prefect Maurice Dublé, as a state representative, claims to be reassuring. The administration I represent, sorry, will help you for the mountain deserves special consideration. During the second stage, the enthusiasm for white gold revolves around the Grenoble Winter Olympics. They are broadcasted on TV and watched by millions of viewers. Supported by a strong political will, the games have an influence on equipment and the policy of the right to winter sports. In Oisin, the Alpe d'Huez is the only resort to host an Olympic contest bobsledding. Thus, the resort will benefit from a few improvements that were not included in the fifth plan and that will be carried out before the 1968 Olympics. So, widening of the road toward US, click. Enhancement of the Rhone des Colliers, which allows access to the Alps, and widening of the Road 91 traffic circle in Visil, click. A series of projects hatched between 1968 and 1969 in Bourdoisien. In Bourdoisien, the unveiling of the Vernic Ravining in 1968 is followed by the opening of a natural skating rink and an unveiling of the Ober Ski Lift as a replacement to a low surface lift in 1969. Click. Okay, thank you. The same year, the Almere Ski Lift is unveiled in many leading figures' presence. Projects in the Bourdon Range are even considered as well. Oris. Click. Instigate a public inquiry regarding the touristic organization of the Angers Resort. And the corporation of Venusca Telenacel Bucket Lift is formed. Click. And must help connect Venusque to Les Alpes in 15 minutes to avoid taking the alternative route of the Chambon and making a 26 kilometers detour. So now I will speak about obstacles to the spread of innovation, particularly about institutionalization. By institutionalization, I mean the organization and the construction by the state of a ski resort. Resort infrastructure. In 1961, because of the interest of the touristic development of the canton, Bourdoisien had two projects of the regional land settlement plan. One of these projects is the cable car between Bourdoisien and the Signal de Prégenty, which were pre-war projects. Public authorities' help is requested. Pleading opening up, the only valid reason to get aid from the state, Bourdoisien and Villarion finally obtained the opening of a cable car service on June 20, 1964, after a harsh winter. In January 1965, Bourdoisien takes cognizance of the civil engineering report that refuses to give positive endorsement to the building of a telecabin between Bourdoisien and Villarion because of the potential risks linked with the rescue mission should there be an accident. Civil engineers suggest installing a cable car instead. Despite the cost of such an infrastructure, Bourdoisien decides to follow the project. However, the town's financial inability and the state withdrawal put an end to the project. Another example about conflict and cooperation. It's the idea of a ski lift connecting La Grave to the Neige that dates back 1894. Click. The first cable car project 1933 provokes a complete outcry by envisaging to plane down the Grand Pic de la Neige to set up the cable car station and the restaurant. Alpine lovers fiercely protest against this solution. The Neige, where mountaineering was symbolically born, has to be protected. The project returned center stage in 1957. At the same period in Chamonix, the cable car of the Aiguille du Midi and the Vallée Blanche opened in 1955 and 1957. If there are still opponents to the project, they are not as vigilant, for the objective is to turn La Grave into a mountaineering center as well as a four-season ski resort. Some opponents' representatives are from the French Alpine Club, and they say they don't understand why the mountain should be public. Nevertheless, the play against of the developer contractors for the possibility of creating permanent employment thanks to summer skiing, economic and social arguments carry the day. In 1963, the proposal of the route going to the River Col is approved, and while waiting for the financing necessary to the construction of the cable car, La Grave starts building some ski lifts in the Le Chazelet, it's an inlet of La Grave, as soon as 1964. Click. So that's the history of the project in La Grave. And I just add some information after the 1960s. It's in 1976, the inauguration of the first section of the cable car. In November, an attack using explosive. And in 1978, the official opening of the second section of the cable car. Last example is about the creation of a natural park. Indeed, the whole project of natural reserve resurfaced in Oise. The creation of the Vanoise National Park in 1963 and the Neige equipment policy create a new dynamic that rekindles the project for a national park in the Écrin as part of the rural revitalization operation on the state's initiative. Indeed, for politicians, economic development and the planning of a park are not contradictory. So the park project thus goes after two different stakeholders: conservationists with a preservation policy, and the developer contractors with visiting figures. Among the promoters of the project are academics such as Germain Vévey, Philippe Trénard, but also members of the French Alpine Club or local stakeholders. In May 1969, the Vanoise reduces the park by 2,500 hectares to create Val Thorens and Val Chavière. Val Chavière will not exist. And consequently, the French Alpine Club and French Touring Club deeply protest. Numerous associations wish to preserve high mountain areas. The Haute-Alpes deputy, Paul Dijoux, aware of the difficulties in the Vanoise, claims to be reassuring. A park is not some sort of museum from which mankind is excluded. Loans are given to the Haute-Alpes prefect to start the studies. On the October 12, 1969, the first meeting for the creation of an action committee for the Écrin National Park takes place. And thanks for your attention.